We thank God for them. You may be seated today. God bless you as you are seated in His presence today. Amen. How many are glad to be here on this Easter morning? Praise God. Well, for those who don't know, my one leg has not got shorter than the other, but was discovered this week and confirmed that I have broken my bone in my right foot. And somehow the doctor is under the illusion that I've got to stay off my foot for 3 months. So. So somehow I've got to learn to walk on one foot between now and then. And as you see, they've given me the knee buggy, which is a miracle from God. And so I have almost ran over my grandchildren at least 2 or 3 times. They have discovered in this that I'm a lot faster than they are. Isn't that wonderful? Well, if you'll give me just a second here. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Father. There we go. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. And if you will, this morning, you can take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark, the 15th chapter. And today, what I want to do is, if the Lord so ordains and I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit today, I will preach. And more than likely, I will. But if not, I want to give to you a teaching on the cross and upon the resurrection. And why I want to do this today is I want you to hear every man, every woman, every boy and girl to know what Jesus has done. And this is an opportunity. Some of you I may never see again, and I want you to hear what Jesus has done for you. The beauty of it is this, is that Jesus hasn't done what He's done for you so that you will feel condemned the rest of your life. See, the problem is 2 things that people fight. Sinners fight condemnation, okay? And the only way that they can come to true repentance is through the goodness of God. See, grief and condemnation will never save you. You can feel bad for your sins, but never repent over your sins. You can desire to turn over a new leaf, but never change your life. Amen? Never. The only thing that really changes our life is repentance. And the only way we can get to repentance is through the goodness of God. Here is the issue that we face in the body of Christ. Somehow, we think that we are going to frighten or condemn people into understanding. You know, the beauty about this is that God took 2 of the most horrible things in the world and tucked them and turned them to something beautiful. He took death, which the Bible says is cruel. Amen. Death is a place of separation. It's a place of darkness. It's a place that most men never want to experience and do everything they can to prevent it and to stay away from death. And the Bible says that the grave is a cruel place. But God took both of them, took death and destroyed the power of death, and took the grave and destroyed the power of the grave. Because for the believer, death has no power over our life. The grave has no power over us. That's the beauty of the life of a believer. Is that even though that death comes to all men, and after that the judgment, the beauty is this, is that death has no power, come on, has no power over my life. And when we realize that death has no power over our life, we begin to live in a way that is joyous and happy, knowing, look, man, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to live out my life, but even at that end, when death comes, how many knows that death will have no power? He said, that's why he said, where is the sting of death? The sting of death is the fear of death. Because when you don't know where you're going and where you're going to spend eternity, then death holds fear over your life. But as a believer, there is no fear. But here is the thing that I want you to understand. The resurrection is a beautiful thing. The resurrection is a beautiful thing. And here, if you will, turn with me. Come on, how many knows I am who I am? Philippians, if you will, turn with me to Philippians. I want to share something with you today. Keep your finger on Philippians chapter 3 and then flip over there with me to Mark again, to the 15th chapter. A couple things I want to convey to you today before I get going here. Mark 16 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. We're so glad to have all of you with us today. And I see some visitors here. I hope you take time. I'm going to be over at that door. And please give me an opportunity to shake your hand and just to say hi to you. I'd love to be able to. Me and Pastor Karen love to say hi to everybody that's here. I know that some of you go out that door because it's shorter and you don't want to stand in the line over here of those that are over here. But please give us an opportunity to say hi to you today and tell you how much we're glad. You're right, this is my birthday, but this is not only my birthday. Amen. But this is also Rebecca Perillo's birthday. And where you at, Rebecca? Where you at, honey? She's all the way in the back. Lift your hand. Oh, higher.
Higher. Higher.
That's Rebecca's birthday today also. And so we share the birthday today. And so, and a few other choice and privileged people share April 5th. An interesting thing which won't matter to you in the life to come. But this is the first time since I was born, because I was born on Easter morning. And so 62 years ago, the greatest joy of my mother's life. I'm sorry. Ask her. She'll tell you the truth. But 62 years ago, I was born in Rock, West Virginia. It was a coal mining town. And I was born in the owner's house that owned the coal mining. My mother and father worked for a company. My dad was mining coal, and I was born in that house. My mother tells the story of how that when they went there, they had to clean out the house. The house was so filthy, and it didn't have floors like we have now. And the first thing that happened as my mother walked through the door is that there was a nest of snakes that was in above the door, and they fell on her. And so she tells of the story of that day. In fact, on that morning, it was snowing that Easter morning. So 62 years ago, I was born into this world. My mother almost lost me that day, but God spoke to her as she was carrying me. And a couple times my mother almost, I almost was aborted in her womb. But my mother prayed and she asked God to save me. And God spoke to her and said, "The child in your womb is a prophet. He is a man of God. And I have a call on his life to be fulfilled. He will be born. He will be well. He will be born alive." And so that day, 62 years ago, so it's a special morning this morning that this is the first time in all that time that my birthday fell on Easter. Amen. And so I'm very thankful this morning, thankful for all my kids, thankful for all that God has given me, thankful for you today, and thankful for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you for indulging me this morning. In chapter 16 and verse 1, and look what it says. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." I want you to notice here that Mary, and I want you to hear it, no matter that Mary and all the Marys, and James, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, They came with the anticipation of finding the body of Jesus. I find it interesting that even though that Jesus spoke more than three times about what was going to happen, he was even detailed and told them that he was going to be killed by the leaders of the religious party. He even told them that the Romans would participate. He told them that this temple will be destroyed. But then again told them that on the third day that he would raise, that he would come alive. And to emphasize this point, he'd even demonstrated to them through the body of Lazarus. Are you hearing me? And Lazarus had been dead how many days? 4 days. And he went and Lazarus was raised from the dead on the fourth day. Isn't it amazing that in our sorrow, in our sadness, in our pain, how? That no matter how much, and they were with Jesus on a continuous basis and heard the word of the Lord that was there, that pain came and was trying to keep them from the freedom of the resurrection. Are you hearing me? And I want you to understand today is this, is that look to somebody to your left and to your right and tell them God's Spirit is perfect. Come on, say it to them again. God's Spirit is perfect. And God's Spirit is the seed by which, because we are created in three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. Are you hearing me? When Jesus came and he died on Calvary, he did not just die for a part of you. He died for all of you. And here I want you to understand today is this. God doesn't want you to be partially happy. God did not bring about the resurrection so that you would be partially happy, that you would partially have to settle for contentment in life. So that your testimony would not be, well, this is my lot in life, therefore I've just got to accept who I am. I'm here to tell you today is this. The only thing that you and I have to accept is what God has said that you are. Anybody else, any demon in hell, any other thing from your past that says you are not is a liar. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? What we have got to begin to believe is that the resurrection was not just for my spirit man, but when Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would also raise me up from the dead. I'm looking forward to that resurrection that is to come when my body is placed in the ground. But I want you to know today, I need some resurrection now. I need God to raise me from the deadness of my soulish pain and from my past, and to raise me from the circumstance and the situation that I'm in right now. Man, I need resurrection now. Come on, somebody say it. I need resurrection now. See, here is the power of the resurrection. It's not for someday. Somebody say that. The resurrection is not just for someday. Amen. I want you to quit being so enthusiastic when you repeat after me, all right? Be a little bit more calm, all right? Now let's say it again. Resurrection is not just for someday. That's better. Resurrection is not just for someday. Resurrection, come on, say it. Resurrection is for today. And the reason why it's for today is because it's in me now. Oh, you say, well, I don't feel very resurrected, Pastor. In fact, I feel more dead than I feel resurrected. Well, I'm here to declare to you today that no matter what your physical man says, no matter how you feel on the outside, no matter what your body is saying to you, even though you look in the mirror and your mirror tells you the very opposite of what I'm saying to you, I am declaring to you by faith that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ lives in you and that it will manifest in you. It will manifest His strength. It will manifest His power on the inside of you today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, if you're waiting for this whole thing to make sense, you got to forget it. Amen? Well, I want God to make sense. Well, it don't make sense. Are you hearing me? See, it doesn't make sense. It's foolishness.
Paul said, even in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 23, he said, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." See, when you preach the cross, when we think of the cross, when we think of the resurrection, it's foolishness. When you don't know Jesus Christ, it's foolish. See, but it was all foolishness to them. Reason tells you that babies aren't supposed to be born to virgins. See, reason tells you that God doesn't become flesh. Reason tells you that Almighty God will not allow puny men to nail God on the cross. Reason tells you that when a man dies, he cannot be resurrected back again. But none of that makes any sense, does it? You see, none of it makes any sense. Why? Because it doesn't make any sense to my reason, or it's a reasonable statement. But I want you to know something. God needs to go beyond your reason. God needs to go beyond your mind this morning and know that His resurrection power exists and lives on the inside of you. Somebody say amen. Look here in Mark chapter 16. So when they came, when the Marys came to anoint the body of Jesus, their anticipation was to find a dead body. Are you hearing me? Isn't it amazing that no matter that you hear something, you don't hear something? Amen? See, because even though Jesus said it multiple times, they still didn't hear it. See, when pain is greater and the experience you have is greater than the Word of God, you believe that negative experience more than you do the Word of God. Oh, you might as well say amen. See, that's why some folks don't like church. Because all they've ever had in their life is dead, dry church. All they have ever had is a dead, dry message. All they've ever had is a God who doesn't move, a God who doesn't bless His people, a God who's not an abundant God. You know, it's amazing. In my state where I'm at right now with this broken foot, it is amazing because the only thing that keeps coming to me over and over again is the abundant life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit keeps telling me on the inside that this house in my life is coming even into a greater dimension of the abundant life than we've ever seen before. Well, that doesn't make sense, because the senior pastor, the vision, the man of faith and power, is hobbling around riding a little cart. Are you hearing me? And I say to the devil, get out of my face. Look what he says. See, I want to share something with you. One thing, too, is this. If you get caught up with all the silliness and the questions the enemy gives you, what you'll do is you'll stay in the whys, and you'll never get to what now. If you get stuck in the whys, well, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why isn't this happening? That's not fair. If you get stuck in the whys, you'll never get stuck in what now. See, that is the difference between somebody who is looking to stay where they're at or somebody who is looking to walk in the abundant life. Amen. What the problem is this. These individuals got stuck in why? Why? How? How are we going to roll the stone away? Look what it says here. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came under the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now look what they said to themselves. Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? They hadn't reached the obstacle yet. They had not reached that place yet. See, I want you to understand that your pain is trying to take you someplace. Either your pain is going to take you to your end. Either where you're at is going to cause you to stumble. Either your pain is going to cause you, and the death that's happening in your life seems like it's shutting everything down. Or what is happening is that these women did not stop. They went towards the last thing that they knew, the last promise that they had, the last bit of life that they had. They didn't even know it, that the Spirit of God was prompting them on to the greatest experience of their life. I kind of like it, isn't it? There wasn't one man amongst them, because the rest of them were back home pouting. Hello. It's a good place for you men to say amen. But who was it? It was three women. Well, now that he's dead, this is women's work. Are you hearing me? But I want you to know something. There was something on the inside of these women. I don't even want to get to this place. Come on, let's go on. So here they said to themselves, who is going to roll the stone away? That's what some of you are asking this morning. How is this going to be resolved in my life? How is this great dilemma that I keep fighting? This great addiction, this problem that is in my life, how is this going to be resolved? Well, if you're an unbeliever, it's the same answer for you as it is a believer. The resurrection power that is in you, or the resurrection power that you can receive in your life today, will cause the stone to be rolled away before you ever even get there. See, you can't see it, you don't know it yet, but God has already moved on your behalf. And when they looked, they saw, when they looked, everybody say, when I begin to see. See, some of us are blinded so much by our life and by our circumstance, we can't see. But finally, when you can see, you've got to be in the position to be able to see. They saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long garment, and they were afraid. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, wait a minute here. What did he say to them? He said, look, you're looking for the right thing, but you're looking in the wrong place. Amen. You're looking for the right thing. You're looking for Jesus, but you're looking in the wrong place. See, I want you to know you cannot find the resurrected Jesus except in one place. Amen? You can't find him in any other kind of substitute in your life. You see, Jesus doesn't dwell in tombs. The tomb itself, and here's what I want you to do as you turn there to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, I want you to see this morning. God wanted me to tell some of you something today. Is that okay? But as I begin to look at this, all I could hear the Holy Spirit said is that some of you have thought that your tomb was the end. These ladies thought this was the end of their life. The tomb was the end. They were coming to their end. But you sometimes have to come to your end, and what you think is your end is a brand new beginning. See, you think, well, I can't take any more. Well, I don't know. That's between you and God. But God brings us to our end so that he can bring us to a new beginning. See, to them, they were coming to a tomb, and they didn't realize they weren't coming to a tomb. They were coming to a womb. You didn't hear me this morning. I said they thought they were coming to a T-O-M-B, and they were coming to a W-O-M-B. They were coming to a womb. They thought they were coming to a place of death, when really they were coming to a place of life. You think what you're coming to is a place of death. And I want you to know something. You are experiencing a spiritual death. But what you think is your end is really your beginning. What you think is death is really life. What you think is the end is really the beginning of something new and something fabulous for your life. Oh, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching a message that everything is going to get better. I'm not preaching a message to where that if we are positive enough that everything will turn around for your life. Darling, I'm talking about that we need the resurrection power in our life to be able to do it. When those women, they were grieving, but when they got to the tomb and they saw the stone was rolled away, they walked in and the angel of the Lord was there. They saw the grave clothes laying at the head of where Jesus was laid, and the angel looked at them and said, you're in the right, well, you are looking for the right thing, but you're in the wrong place. Because if they would have understood the revelation, they would have never come to the tomb. They would have waited for Jesus to appear before them. Amen? See, I want to say to you today is this. Some of you keep seeking him in dead places, and you wonder why you can't find the resurrected Jesus. You keep trying to find him in dead relationships. You keep trying to find him in dead family relationships. You keep trying to find him in things that bring you nothing but death and sorrow in your life. And the question that you're going to have to ask yourself is this: how long will you allow yourself to live in that dead relationship? How long will you keep going back to that tomb? But I'm here to tell you today is this: that you are going to discover that what that tomb is in your life, what that thing is in your life, God is allowing you to go to your very end. And what is going to happen to some of you, God wanted me to tell you today that what you think is the end, what you think is the death, God said is a new birthing that is about ready to transpire in your life. Are you hearing me? Here in Philippians chapter 3, if you'll look here with me today. How many still with me? So here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. See, I think we deal with two issues here this morning. There are two sets of people. There are possibly people here this morning who do not know Jesus Christ, have never experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so therefore, the cross makes no logical sense at this point. But there are those that I believe, and God keeps dealing with me about it this morning, and that is those individuals that have been saved, but can never break the cyclical lifestyle that they have lived in over and over again. That is going from a high highs, low lows, going in a roller coaster relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to know that when Jesus said this out of John 10:10, he said, "The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that life more abundantly." And I want you to know that God's promises is not that he's not a man that he could lie. God's promises are yea, and they are amen. The poison is not in your spirit. The problem is not in your spirit. Your spirit that has been reborn by the Spirit of God is perfect. It is without spot, is without wrinkle. The Spirit of God that is within you, the seed of God that is in your spirit is there. But you must understand that his seed must have a womb to deposit itself. See, I want you to understand something. The seed had to be deposited in that tomb. It had to go to a place of death before it could go to a place of life. It had to go to the tomb before it could become a womb. But when that seed went there, the seed of God overcame that tomb. See, that stone tomb could not hold the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It couldn't hold the life of God. Think about it today. There was the dead body of Jesus Christ, but it was not the body that caused that tomb to come a place of a womb. It was the Spirit of God that was in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me today? And that tomb became the womb that brought life eternal to us. Here in Romans, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may become more intimately acquainted with him in the power of his resurrection. Say it today, there is a power in resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I know this today is that God's plan for the cross was his plan. How many knows the cross of Jesus Christ was not an accident? The resurrection was not an accident. The cross was not an afterthought. The cross was planned. Can you imagine today that the cross of Jesus Christ was a plan from God's heart? That God had planned. Why? Because he knew that it was going to take the death of Jesus Christ to bring life to you and I today. But he was willing to send his only begotten Son to die the horrible death of a crucifixion so that you and I could have life today. He allowed his body to die in a tomb, to lay there for 3 days, but knowing that on the third day that it would rise again. I don't think we understand the price that God paid on the cross because of it. I just want to briefly say to you today,
And I was reminded of a story back in 1999. You might remember the story of Texas A&M. And Texas A&M has a ritual that they do every year to where that they pile these logs high and then they have a bonfire to get ready for the football season. And in 1999, they had stacked over 400 of these logs up to create this massive bonfire. It is amazing. If you've ever seen it, it is amazing. But on this day, November the 18th, what happened was these logs fell. And 12 people were killed because of it. Students on the campus of the 43,000, the paper reads, were quick to defend the project. One young boy said, "I've done this for years, ever since I was in high school," said a student who identified himself only as Brandon. And he said, "It's a freak accident. That's all it is." Brandon said, "God wanted it to happen, so it happened." What I want to say to you today is this. I believe that what happened at College Station was not God's heart or God's intent. What it was an accident. But I believe that what happened on the cross in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, where Jesus was crucified and resurrected, had been planned by God since the beginning of time. It wasn't an accident. God intervened in history for a reason, to reconcile man back to himself. There was no hope, but God planned this from the beginning of time. There in Mark chapter 14, I just want to review to you the history before the resurrection. In Mark 14 and 53, if you want to turn there and go with me in Mark 14 and 15, I want to just show you the progression of events, if you'll bear with me. In Mark 14 and 53, Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin, that is the Jewish high court, and they were looking for evidence to put Jesus to death. In Mark 15 and 1, we see early in the morning that the Sanhedrin had finally reached their decision and they found him guilty. And their evidence, they said, was enough to put Jesus to death. In Mark 15, 14 and 15, Pilate did not find that Jesus had committed any crimes. He was stuck. He was stuck in the middle. But however, to satisfy the crowd, he sentenced Jesus to be crucified. There in Mark 15 and 25, at 9 o'clock a.m. in the morning, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. From 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock, when Jesus breathed his last breath, Jesus hung on that cross alive until 3 o'clock on that day. At this juncture, I want to remember that even though these events are horrible to imagine and visualize, that this was a planned event by God. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any reasoning sense. But this was a plan that God had. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, the Bible says, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." This was God's will. In Acts 2 and 23, "This man Jesus was handed over to you by God's set purpose," the Bible says, Paul declaring, "and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." And what happened to Jesus, it was planned by God. Hear me now. Praise the Lord. The story doesn't end there. In Mark 15, 42, an evening approached, and Joseph of Arimathea, if you remember, asked Pilate if he could take the body of Jesus and put him in the tomb that belonged to him. In Mark 16 and 2, very early in the first day of the week, here we see recorded what I just read to you, the women who came with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. In Mark 16 and 4, when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and an angel said to them, "You are looking for Jesus who is crucified, but he is not here." This is the message of the gospel, the good news that is to us today. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see today, and I want to remind you of three of the blessings of the cross and the resurrection. Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection has given us forgiveness. How many are glad today that because of what happened today, the blessing of the crucifixion and the resurrection is that we have forgiveness today? I want you to know that no matter what the sin is, no matter how terrible the sin is,
that sin has been forgiven. I'm going to tell you a story in just a minute that is absolutely beautiful. When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. This refers to the temple curtain that was in the temple where they brought the sacrifices for the sins of Israel. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil was rent from top to bottom. I never saw it this way before. I really didn't. I had never saw it this way. But if you had a piece of paper that you had like this, and it had all of your sins that was written upon it, every one of them. And somebody came along, and if you were going to take a contract that said that you are obligated to what is within the confines of this contract, and all of these sins you are going to have to pay the price for. And on the bottom of it, it says that your price is eternal damnation. Your price is hell. You have no other choice. Signed and delivered, that is the price of your sin. But when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible said that the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. And I never saw it before until today, that what literally has happened is that Jesus has come and he has torn up the contract. When the veil was rent, he said, your sins have been forgiven. You are no longer obligated to the sins of your life. So I want you to hear that today, that no matter what sin you have committed, no matter where you are living in your sin, that the veil has been ripped in your life. The contract has been ripped up in your life. You've been forgiven. The greatest thing of knowing today is this, is that your conscience can be purged from that area. God said that what we're going to see in this last day, and listen to me very carefully, in this last day, we are going to see a great healing come to the souls of God's people. Are you hearing me? See, the Spirit of God has to be deposited in the soul. The body only can do what the soul commands it to do. Are you hearing me? And if the soul is tied to condemnation, if the soul is tied to something from the past, if the soul is tied to another relationship. You said, Pastor, but we have been freed from it. But I want you to know your spirit is free. Your spirit is fighting for you. Your spirit is living on the inside of you. And you say, Pastor, I gave my heart to Christ. I've lived for Him, but I've never been able to live free. I've never been able to live the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today, God wants to heal your soul. He says this. He said, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your body and your soul and your spirit have to be in agreement. But He intended for us to be able to walk in that place. He intended, why? Because of the crucifixion. Are you hearing me today? See, why Mark tells us what happened, the book of Hebrews tells us what it meant. If you look there in the book of Hebrews with me. Amen. I'm just going to read it to you. I don't want you to take time. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way open. Remember, it's been torn. The veil has been rent. Where you could not go into the presence of God, you now can go into the presence of God. Who can go into the presence of God? Anyone who wants to come before His throne, and whether you are unsaved or saved, you can come before the throne and ask God, if you're unsaved, by repentance, it gives you a key into His presence. And if you're saved, your condemnation is the only thing that's keeping you out of the door. Amen? That it is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Are you hearing me? God says it's time to be free from that guilty conscience. It's time to be free from the soul ties. It's time to be free. It's time to walk in the abundant life of God. I declare today by the Spirit of God, this is not only just Easter today. This is Resurrection Sunday. And God wants to bring you in to a resurrection place in your life to where that you begin a new day. The resurrection brought a new day for the church. And the resurrected life that's in you wants to bring a new day to you today. Amen. To God, the curtain in the temple symbolized the body of Jesus. Amen. And that was torn. It was broken for us. See, you have to remember, he was forsaken on the cross and we received forgiveness. Because he was punished for our sins, we have received inner peace. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Many believers have a hard time receiving such a gift and often try to prove their gratitude by nurturing and dwelling in constant regret for the things that they've done in their life. Are you hearing me today? I would be free, but Pastor, I can never get past. I mean, how can I get past my past sins? But I want to remind you that we are not saved because we're continually sorry, but we're saved because of what Jesus did. Your regret and your sorrow will not save you one more day. Your regret and sorrow is something that's from your past, and you need to be released from it. For God has already paid the price for you. He's already torn up the contract for you. You're already free. Why are you living a contract? Why are you paying somebody for something that is not yours to pay? I want you to hear what A.W. Tozer said, The Futility of Regret, from the incredible Christian book that he wrote. There is indeed a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. But the persistence of this sorrow until it becomes chronic regret is neither right or good. Once the soul has turned from sin and committed itself wholly to God, there is no longer any legitimate place for regret. Are you hearing me today? There's no place for regret. The forgiven man knows that he has sinned, but he no longer feels it. The guilt may be remembered, but the sting is gone from his memory. Just because I can recite the memory doesn't mean the memory has to sting my life anymore. Why? Because I know it's been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Just because you see it, just because you run into somebody who can remember it, doesn't mean that it has to have the sting of your life. You need to look at the next person who wants to remind you of your past and look at them and say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, that was who I was. But you have to understand, I'm walking in a new day today. That pain is gone from my life. That pain is gone from my mind. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has set me free. Come on. Somebody needs to shout unto God. Amen. Just because I can't get up and run around don't mean you can't. He said, I believe that the chronic unhappiness of most Christians may be attributed to the gnawing uneasiness that God has not fully forgiven them for the fear that he expects as the price of his forgiveness. Some sort of emotional penance which they have not furnished. See, they keep thinking, you keep thinking there's something that you have to do. You are not fully embracing the forgiveness of Christ, the blood of Christ, the crucifixion, and the death, and the burial, and his resurrection. Why live in that guilt? Why live in that fear another day? You need to declare on the inside of you, this is the last day of my fear. This is the last day of my regret. I'm not going to regret anything because the day that I met Jesus Christ was the brand new day that I found forgiveness, that I found the resurrection power of Christ. And today I'm going to celebrate him in my life. Quit living like you still owe somebody something. You know how it feels when you know you borrowed $50 from somebody and you can't pay them back, and every time you see them, you feel the weight of that $50. Now the $50 feels like $100. And then a couple weeks later, now it feels like $200. How many hears what I'm saying to you? How many's ever owed anybody? Well, thank God for you honest folks that's never owed anybody all your life. God bless your righteous selves. How many's ever owed anybody somebody? I'll tell you this. Let me ask you a different way. How many's ever owed somebody you wish you never had owed somebody? Yeah, that changes it, don't it? How many's ever owed somebody that you know they always going to remember you owed them?
And even though you paid them back, they still want you to pay them back. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's what it's like living as a believer and never living free from regret and condemnation. Are you hearing me? You say, well, Pastor, how can I be free? By accepting the price has been paid. Accepting and living and breaking free from it. I want you to hear me today. Paul made a declaration here in the church at Philippi. His declaration was this, and this is Paul the Apostle. This is somebody who's seen Jesus physically, who had a revelation of Christ. But he declared here, what my desire is that I may know him more intimately. Can I tell you something? And listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you a key today. What keeps you in regret is not knowing him. Because your regret keeps you from the throne of God and from his presence. Think about it. Your sins keep you from the things that can bless you and help you the most. Where does it keep you from? The church. It keeps you from God's people. Well, bless God, Pastor. You know, I'm not going to go there. There's just hypocrites in the church. Really? Did you know that there's hypocrites in the world too? I'd rather sit with the hypocrites in the church than sit in hell with the ones who are in the world. Are you hearing me? My life's not dictated by their sins or their lack of forgiveness. I have decided to follow Christ. See, your regret and your pain that keeps you from the resurrected power of Jesus Christ is keeping you from the life and the presence of God. See, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to live and dwell in that regret and that pain, that bitterness, driving you from, keeping you from his presence and his love. Amen? See, the thing that I realize as a parent, and I had to correct, she's not in here, and don't say anything to her, but Mia got her first spanking from her grandfather. Something I had spoken to her over and over again. Not a spanking. I didn't take her. It was a smack on the leg. Believe me, it was just as bad. And it was the result of disrespect. It was the result of rudeness. It was a result of constantly, don't do that, that's rude, that's not acceptable behavior, do, just down the line, patience, trying to teach. How many knows you come to a point where reason won't get it done? Amen? But what happens a lot of times when we correct, and then we leave the person in the state of their sin. God doesn't leave us that way. See, shortly thereafter, I had other things I had to do, but shortly thereafter, I saw her again. I knew she felt bad. Because when she was in my presence, she was in that place of wondering, because this was the first time this had ever happened between me and Mia. So now was the most important time in her life. She had to know, I love you now as much and more than I did before. So when I saw her, I told her to come here, and I embraced her, and I loved her. And from that point, she was free to know. She didn't have to live in that, but I was going to hold her accountable, amen, for what she had done. But I wasn't going to remind her of her sin over and over again. It's not God who's reminding you of your sin. God doesn't have to remind you of your sin. You want to know why? Because he's forgot it. See, the power of his resurrection, if you'll let it work in your life, you'll understand how deep God's love is and how great his power is to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the power of the cross. The power of the resurrection. See, if you're being reminded of your sin, if you're being reminded of your mistakes, it's not God who's doing it. Are you listening to me? It's your own mind. It's the enemy. But how many are glad today for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? Amen. 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 Come on, stand with me today. I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today, first of all, to any individual that is here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never experienced the power of the resurrection. You've tried to deny it. You've tried to run away from it. You've tried to move to another place. But God wants to speak to your heart and your life today. If you're here today and you heard the message, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads just for a couple minutes in prayer with me to believe God for anybody that's here that can experience the resurrection power of Christ. I want you to raise your hand right now, right where you're standing, and say, Pastor, standing here today, sitting here, listening to the message, I have never known the love and the power of Jesus Christ. Never. I want you to pray for me today, Pastor. I want to know this abundant life. I want to know Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand right where you're at? Is there anybody here? I see your hand all the way in the back. I see your hand also. I see your hands. Are you hearing me, church? Somebody's hearing the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want my elders, some of my elders, to get ready to come down here and stand with me. We're going to pray for some folks today. So I want you to just get out of your seat quietly. To those that are also here today, that you say, Pastor, I fight regret all the time. I fight regret in my life. I fight the regret of my past. I fight the regret of my mistakes. And I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I can't get past the regret. I can't get past my past. And I want to begin to get past my past. I need healing in my soul. Let me tell you something, folks. If there's something wrong with the womb, the baby may be, the seed may be taken in the egg. But if there is something wrong with the womb, it will abort the baby, or it will cause the baby to be stillborn. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to me over and over again. Some of you have never given birth to the promise that belongs to you. And God says it's time to give birth. It's time to heal the womb of your soul. It's not the Spirit of God. It is your soul. It's your will, your intellect, your emotions. They need to be healed. They need to be delivered. God needs to heal the place to where His seed is deposited. And God wants to cause birthing to come into your life. Some of you need to come over here on this side. If you're here today and you're one of those believers who can't get past their past, who are living in regret, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at right now. Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I can't get past my regret. I see your hands. Come on. Don't even be embarrassed. Don't even be ashamed. I can't get past my past. I can't get past my regrets. I can't get past that point in my life. You say, Pastor, I've been up the altar so many times. If it was stock in Yahoo, I would be a multimillionaire today. But I'm here to tell you, it's not about how many times you come. It is that one time that you come that God is able to do that thing in your life. You cannot give up. God has an answer for you. God has deliverance for you today. If you're here right now, if you're here and you're that first person who raised their hand, I'm going to pray for you right now. I want everybody to pray with me for that individual. Those individuals who raise their hand to know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, who do not know Him. Don't anybody else move. I'm asking you sincerely, seriously. These individuals don't know Jesus Christ. I know some people feel they have so many important things to do, but you tell me what's more important than people's eternal souls. God doesn't need a masterpiece to touch people's lives. He just needs somebody to deliver with sincerity and honesty, and those hungry souls will reach out and take it. If you're here today and you raised your hand, If you're here today and you raised your hand and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray for you right now. Raise your hand back up. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, I see those hands right now. Lord, I pray for them. I break every chain, every hindrance in their life. Lord, everything that would keep them from the knowledge of Jesus Christ, from eternal salvation, Lord, we break it off of their life that they can freely come to know Jesus Christ and His eternal salvation. Father, I thank You right now that they're going to be free to know Him in Jesus' name. I want you to stay right there. I'm going to give an invitation in just a minute. You that have raised your hand that say, Pastor, I want to get past my hurt. I want to get past my regret. I want you to understand, you need to stay in the house because God has given me revelation concerning the healing of the soul, the womb of the believer. God wants to heal you today. God spoke to me that today is a day of healing. Today is a day of resurrection. The people who are standing with me today are individuals who believe in the power of that resurrection. I want you to come right now. Everyone who raised their hand, those who raised their hand for salvation, I want you to come first. Step out of your seat right now. We're right down here. We don't want to embarrass you, but I want everybody just to pray as those individuals come. And we want to pray the prayer of faith. Those who raise their hand for salvation. If somebody is standing next to them, help them. Bring them down with you so that they don't have to come alone. Amen. Come on. Come on down. I want you to find Christ Jesus right now. Come on. Give them a hand today. Give them a hand. Those who are coming to know Christ. Come on, brother. Amen. Anyone else that wants to come today? Anyone else? Right here, sir. Right here. They're going to help you. Anyone else who raised their hand? We want you to come and join this young man to find Jesus Christ as his Savior. Anybody else who raised their hand today who can't get past your past, I want you to move quickly. I want you to come to the front right now. Move out. I don't care how many times you've come. I don't care. God doesn't care. He just cares that you come. Come on. Help him, guys. Help him. Everyone right now. Step out of your seat. Step out of your seat. Come on. There was more of you. Come on. Don't delay. Don't delay. Move quickly. Move quickly. Everyone. 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 Don't anybody move. Don't anybody go anywhere. Come on. Everybody reach their hand out here. Come on. Everybody begin to obey God. Come on, mother. Yeah, help us pray. Come on. Pray. Oh, Father, we thank You today. We thank You today. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. Oh, yes, Father.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Father. Listen today, these who have come, they realize the seriousness of their life. They know the battle that they face. But how many would raise their hand today and say, Pastor, I know God's will, His plan, His purpose is to bring me into abundant life, to bring me into a greater place than I've ever been in my life before. I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I believe that God wants me to live the abundant life. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about cars and houses and money. Amen? How many knows that God knows what we have need of? Amen? Look, folks, the richest man in this room is the man who is servant to all. That's who the richest man is in this room. Not the man with the most money. Not the man with the largest paycheck. But the man who is servant unto them all. Are you hearing me today? Amen? And God wants us to walk in that abundant life. This year, I have determined in my heart, my spirit, on this resurrection day, I declare over you today that many of you are going to walk in that abundant life, in that abundant place. Amen? I don't care what the natural man says. You know that if you've been a part of this church, you know that hell itself has fought our family. The last 6 months of our life, from the time that our grandson was born with HLS and was born with a half a heart, Jennifer was attacked, and now me. But I want you to understand something, that none of these things move us, because we know what God's ultimate purpose is, and that is to bring this house into abundant living. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Are you with me today? Are you in agreement with me today? Amen. Amen. I want to pray for this man right over here. I don't want you to move. You'll just be patient with me today.